Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me today's sermon title? It's a question. Are you shrewd? Based on the gospel reading from Luke 16 we just read, here's the key verse. And his master praised the unrighteous steward, because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in their relation to their own kind than are the sons of light. Especially it's important today to open your handout, find your sermon outline, and follow along on that outline as we consider this most curious gospel text and our sermon theme, Are You Shrewd? When you look up the word shrewd in the dictionary, here's what you get. I think I've printed it before you. Shrewd means to be determined, to be dogged, to be innovative, far-sighted, not willing to give up easily. Let's talk about shrewd people today. They come from all walks of life. Business, entertainment, politics, sports. No sacrifice is too demanding. They invest unbelievable amount of time and planning and practice to achieve success and fame and riches. But the question of today's sermon is this. What about being shrewd Christians? What could happen in this world if people take following Jesus as seriously as most other folks takes getting ahead? Let's take a look at the shrewd steward in Jesus' parable of Luke 16. In brief, we meet a steward, a manager, who was wasting and probably stealing his master's possessions while the master was away. His master sent the message that he's not going to have an accounting of all of his resources. This dishonest steward was caught. His job, if not his head, was about to be taken from him. He had to come up with a quick plan. We read about his plan in verses 4 to 7. He said, I don't know what I'll do so people will welcome me into their homes. He began to summon his master's debtors. How much do you owe my master? 100 measures of oil? Take your bill and write 50. 100 measures of wheat? You take your bill and write 80. An amazing plan. Before anybody knew he was fired, he would gather all those people who owed his master and really reduce their debts. Why? He figured in this way he'd win friends. And they take him into their own homes after he's lost his job and his place to live. But the real curious thing is the reaction of his master when he found out what the steward did. We read in verse 8. And the master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. And to this parable, Jesus adds these words. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than are the sons of light. First of all, the master praised his dishonest steward for his imaginary and innovative plan, for his shrewdness. That's interesting. But then Jesus compares this dishonest but shrewd steward with the sons of light. Sons of light means Christians. Jesus says here, if only his followers could be as shrewd as this steward. Now, is Jesus here praising dishonesty and cheating? Not at all. Then what's he saying? Now, remember again the definition of shrewd. To be innovative. To be determined. Not willing to give up easily. Here's what Jesus is saying. And ask yourself this question. Why is it that people of this world scheme, plan, innovate, work hard for earthly status and wealth? And so often Christians hardly give a second thought to God's kingdom and using their time and their talents and, yes, their treasures for eternal purposes. I suggest there are some important lessons in the parable of the unrighteous shrewd steward today. And look at your sermon outline. Jesus wants us to come to grips with what's really important, matters of eternity. This steward is praised because he came to grips with his crisis, the loss of his job. And he spent all of his energies to deal with it. Now I ask you, what can be more important for you and the people in your life whom you love than this question? Where will I and they spend eternity? We are to ask ourselves, have I come to grips with this? Is eternity really important to me? What am I doing to get my life and my family's life in order? Am I being shrewd in this? Am I determined to keep myself and my loved ones close to the Lord? And what can I do for others in my life in this regard? Jesus would have us trust that there's nothing in this life too big for him and us to handle together, whether it's matters of eternity or the challenges of daily living. Could it be, and by the way, this is a rhetorical question, the answer is supposed to be yes. Could it be that God sometimes allows us to face situations that seem unsolvable so that we can learn to trust him to accomplish the impossible? Well, perhaps if you could, you can ask the 9 physically challenged people who climbed 14,000-foot Mount Rainier just south of us in Washington State. Some years ago, 9 friends climbed Mount Rainier. One had an artificial leg. One was epileptic. 2 were deaf and 5 were blind. But together they climbed the 14,000-foot Mount Rainier. When asked how they could do it, one blind person said this, and I quote from the article, "We trusted God, and we trusted one another, and we learned that nothing was impossible." I pray that this could become our congregation's theme. We trusted God, and we trusted one another, and we learned that nothing is impossible. In Jesus' parable of the shrewd steward, we also learn what money and possessions have to do with shrewdness. Jesus tells us in this parable that our financial resources can be used to make friends for God. In verse 9, listen to what he says. "And I say to you, make friends by the means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into the eternal dwellings." Jesus here gives us a challenge. If the shrewd steward could use financial resources to gain earthly friends for himself, why can't we use financial resources to make eternal friends for God? You see, the real purpose of our tithes and our offerings, I hope you're listening carefully, the real purpose of our tithes and our offerings is not to pay the church bills. Sunday after Sunday, as the offering plate is passed, we are to see our offering as an act of worship. Every Sunday, what do I say after every sermon? You probably have it memorized. We now worship our Lord with his offering. We respond to his love by the giving of our resources. And these offerings can make eternal friends for God. As Jesus explains in the Luke 16 parable, the way we use our resources will mean there will be people in heaven waiting to welcome us there. And what does that mean? Our tithes and offerings can be used to support the ministry of the gospel. This is the gospel ministry that proclaims Jesus Christ as Savior, that cares for people's physical needs, that leads people into the hands of a loving God. And the use of our financial resources goes way beyond our weekly offerings. Did you know that there are an increasing number of people who also include in their wills a gift for God's kingdom that will live far beyond them? In my will, there is such a substantial gift for this congregation. If you want more information of how you could do such a thing in your will or your estate, talk to Alan Schellenberg. That's what he does. Would you just raise your hand, Alan, so we can see your pretty face? There he is back there. All right. Now, the parable of the shrewd steward tells us that our earthly resources can be put to use for heaven's sake, for the sake of other people's eternities. So now here are two important questions, two practical questions I have for each of us here today. Number one, has your personal spending brought you closer to God or further from him? Has your use of resources this year helped toward the salvation of somebody else or the alleviation of someone's suffering? John Wesley, the famous hymn writer, said this, and I quote, "Earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can." That would aptly describe a Christian steward. Yet far more important than any of this is God's shrewdness. Far more important than us being shrewd is God's heavenly shrewdness for us. Remember the definition of shrewdness again? Being determined, being dogged, not willing to give up. That describes our Lord's shrewdness in providing for us salvation. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." What does that mean? This is talking about the great exchange. Jesus gave up the riches and glory and honor and power of heaven. He gave it up to come to our sinful world. He exchanged his honor and power and glory for our sin. This exchange led him to the cross, where upon that cross he paid for our sins. He became so poor, he died a criminal's death for you and for me. And all that he did, he did for you and for me. And now by his Easter victory over sin and death and the devil, we become rich. Rich in the forgiveness of sins. Rich in the righteousness of God. Rich with the sure hope of the open doors of heaven. All of this he did for sinners like you and me. For sinners like you and me. My friends, because of Jesus' loving sacrifice for us, because he went to the cross to pay for our sins, it is our joy to be shrewd saints. One more time, the definition of shrewd: determined, dogged, innovative, far-sighted, not willing to give up easily. Strengthened by the love of Jesus our Savior, may we be shrewd saints, dedicating all that we are and all that we have for heaven's sake, for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of others' eternity, for Jesus' sake. In the name of Jesus, amen.